Good afternoon. Certainly good to see everyone who was willing and able to come out this morning, or this afternoon, I'm sorry, to study another portion of God's Word. We're going to have a second helping of Old Testament this afternoon. Dennis did a great lesson this morning on Isaiah. This afternoon we're going to talk about Judges chapter 4 and 5, and this is going to concern mainly two individuals named Deborah and Barak. Now, if you remember the last time I spoke on Judges chapter 3, there's a couple of different judges that were named in that particular chapter. Othniel, who was the brother of Caleb, Ehud, and Shamgar. And these were three of the judges that were appointed to Israel. These judges were appointed between the time in which Joshua died, who was the leader that was appointed after Moses, and they served until the time that the Jews would ask for a king. And one of the things that we're going to find, and I hadn't really thought about until I got to this chapter, was that there was not the Jews did not enjoy the unity that God intended for them to have when they went into the Promised Land. We read about the different tribes, and we know the tribes were named after the 12 sons of Jacob. And they are the descendants of those sons, and we don't see them really like working too well together here. And so they're not showing the unity that God wanted them to have. They didn't do what God asked them to do when they went into the Promised Land in the first place, and to drive all those people out or to kill them. And so they were constantly dealing with issues and problems that. The source of those problems was their unwillingness to do what God told them to do. And, of course, this is a great lesson for us even up till this day, is the importance of doing everything that God asks us to do in order to please Him. I'd like now to read the first three verses of Judges chapter 4. And all the scriptures I'm going to be reading this afternoon are from the King James translation. "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harshuth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel." As we mentioned in chapter 3, we read about Ehud and how he had delivered the Jews from the oppression of the Moabites. And after the story of Ehud, we see where there was one verse that was dedicated to Shamgar. And now we come to this next chapter, and it seems like Shamgar is skipped over. It says Ehud is dead, and now Deborah is about to be appointed as the judge. But as it appears at this time that, as I mentioned, there was not a lot of loyalty or unity amongst the tribes of Israel. Jabin and the Canaanites had risen up against the tribes of Naphtali, Zebulun, and Issachar, and Deborah judged from Ephraim, and it's believed at this time that Shamgar was also judging Israel, but that he was in Judah, and that's why we see that there's actually two judges apparently engaged at the same time in doing what God would intend them to do and to lead the people, but because they were so scattered and not having that unity, this was necessary. We remember, go back to the book of Numbers. It's in the Numbers, the 32nd chapter, I believe, is where the children of Israel, after going through the wilderness, they're about to enter into the Promised Land, and the tribes of Reuben and Gad come to Moses and Joshua and the other leaders, and they've decided that they like the land that's on the wilderness side of the Jordan. It's like we don't want to cross over into the Promised Land. We know that that's supposed to be great, but this land that's right here is perfect for us because we have cattle and sheep, and these are perfect grazing lands, and we want to stay here. We want to inherit this land as our inheritance. And Moses told them they could do that, but they had to be willing for all their men to go into the Promised Land and fight with the other tribes. And then once they were able to conquer the Promised Land, then the men from Gad and Reuben and also half of the tribe of Manasseh wanted to stay on the wilderness side. So it's like, you can do that. You have to go in and fight, and when the battle's over, then you can return home and you can inherit that land. So the idea was there that God wanted the people to be united. He wanted them to all act as in one accord and with unity and helping and supporting one another. But it seems like in the time of the judges here that they got dispersed, and they were very kind of tribal in their actions and in their thinking. It would almost be like if someone tried to invade the United States through Florida, and Florida, Georgia, and Alabama decided to try to fight the invasion, and the rest of the country just sat around and did nothing. Well, we're the United States, and when we have an enemy, it's a common enemy. And as we'll see in the next chapter in the Song of Deborah and Barak, that a lot of the Jews kind of set out this confrontation and left it up to the tribes that we named to deal with the Canaanites. Sisera was the captain. This is a term that we would more likely assign as a general. He was the general of Jabin's army, the Canaanites, and he was tasked with oppressing the Jews. And it says that he had 900 chariots of iron. Now, it wouldn't be practical to build these chariots completely out of iron. Iron is a heavy metal, and back then they couldn't work it down thin like our manufacturing has the ability to do now, and it'd be difficult for a team of horses to pull around a chariot completely made of metal. But more than likely, it had metal protection around it, and it also had skiz or sickles, like you would use to cut down weeds. They had these kind of weapons attached to the axles of these chariots, so they could, like, if they were going up against a group of foot soldiers, like is what Barak had in this particular battle, they could just like drive the chariot right into the middle of them, and you could injure multitudes of people just by driving that chariot through and have these spinning blades cut up both men and horses if they were going against the cavalry. So that's why the people were afraid of this army, because these chariots, there wasn't a lot that swords or bows and arrows could do against a weapon of that kind, and so they were afraid to rise up. We'll now continue reading in verse 4 of Judges chapter 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinom, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, and his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So Deborah has been appointed by God to be a judge. There's no mention of it being unusual for a woman to have this position. She was one that God had put in place for this purpose. And she called upon this man, Barak, to raise an army to go and fight against Sisera and to drive him and the Canaanites out of their land. Under the old law, we know that women did not serve in the Levitical priesthood. Under the New Testament, we know that women are not permitted to lead or take a leadership part in the worship service, but that does not mean that women do not have an important and vital role in God's work, as we can plainly see here. We go over to Acts chapter 21, we can read that Philip the evangelist had four daughters who could prophesy. So we realize that this isn't always the foretelling of the future, but it's the spreading of God's word, and God put Deborah in place for this purpose. So she calls him out of Naphtali and tells him to raise this army. And Barak says he'll go, but he wants Deborah to go with him. Now, this doesn't show a lack of faith on his part, but he knows that Deborah it receives her instruction from God. So if she's there, she can tell him when he needs to attack in order to be successful. So he's counting on her leadership and her knowledge of what God wants to help him win this battle. And she tells him that he's going to fight this battle, but it's not going to be for his honor. He says, she's saying a woman is going to get credit for it. And probably at that time, everybody that heard that probably thought Deborah was the one that was going to get credit. But what we're going to see later on is there's a little spoiler there. She's not the one that she was talking about. We'll continue reading in verse 10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent into the plain of Zanaim, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinon, had gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him for Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand, and is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera, and all of his chariots, and all of his host, with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots, and after the host, and Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. So we see that Barak gathers the 10,000 men that he's been told to gather out of these two tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, and he travels to Mount Tabor to prepare for this battle. It then mentions that there's a man named Heber of the Kenites. The King James translation says that he is a descendant of Hobab, and it calls him the father-in-law of Moses. Hobab was actually the brother of Zipporah, who was Moses' wife and Jethro's son. So he was actually Moses' brother-in-law, and that's an incorrect translation. And I think it's in the book of Numbers or perhaps Deuteronomy where he's mentioned as being the brother-in-law of Moses. So this man Heber was a descendant of his. By this point in time, chronologically, he was probably a son or a grandson, possibly, or maybe even a nephew, the way that they figured families at that time. Regardless of that, he was a Kenite. As we mentioned in the beginning of our study here, the Kenites were the people that Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, and Zipporah, his wife, came from those people, and they had joined with the Jews and were kind of absorbed into the tribe of Judah. And so this particular individual has decided, for whatever reason, that he doesn't like living amongst the Jews, so he's separated themselves from them, and he's gone out, and just as Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, this man has pitched his tent away from the Jews, and he's become friendly with the Canaanites, and he now warns them that the Jews have raised an army and are getting ready to go to battle with him. And so we then see that Deborah tells Barak that the time has come for him to attack. The scriptures tell us that God confused Sisera and his army, and that the Jews were easily able to gain the victory, even though they were on foot. And there's some indication in the next chapter in this song that they sing afterwards that they might not have even had any weapons, because it says that there were 40,000 in Israel that didn't have shields or spears, but they just went out and confronted these men, and because of the power of God, he was able to confuse them to the point where they were basically, the chariots were running into each other, and they were tripping all over themselves, and the Jews were able to surround them and take their weapons and defeat them with their own weapons. And so we see that God definitely was with him, and that God had ensured that that battle was going to be won. We'll continue reading now with verse 17. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? Thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly into him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temple. So God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin the king of Canaan until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. So just as Deborah had said, Sisera's ultimate defeat came at the hands of a woman, this woman Jael. And when it says that she was, when it talks about the house of Heber, it's believed that Heber had died. She was his widow, basically. But because he had been friendly with the Canaanites, Sisera thought that's some place where he could go and where he could hide and that he wouldn't be found. And he goes into her tent, and it was a tradition in that part of the world at that time that a woman's tent, even if a woman was married, she had her own private tent. It would be like a private room in the houses today that was just for her. And men were not allowed to enter there without her permission. So if they, Sisera's thought was that if he hid in her tent and she stood at the opening of the tent and said there was nobody there, that they wouldn't try to come in and search it. They would just take her word for it and leave, and that he would later be able to escape. But for whatever reason, God had chosen that this was going to be something that she was going to do to take this man's life, who had been an enemy of the Jews. And so she drives a tent spike through his temples and nails his head to the ground, literally, and takes his life. And so when Barak shows up to try to capture him or find out what's happened to him, he finds out that he's dead. Well, now, quickly, we're not have a lot of time, but there's not a lot to say about Judges chapter 5, so we're going to go ahead and cover that right quick. And again, this is known as the Song of Deborah and Barak, and it just talks about, it kind of sums up what we've been talking about with this battle. Judges chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the fields of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water, the mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. They begin their song here by talking about their beginning, more or less, when Moses had began the Exodus and led them out of the land of Egypt and had gone to Mount Sinai for Moses to receive the Ten Commandments. That's where the power of God was displayed, that he had chosen the Jews as his people, and that he had things he intended for them to do and laws that he intended for them to follow. We'll continue with verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye, Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. here they're briefly talking about the problems that arose from this oppression that they had. They were afraid. The Jews were afraid to travel on the main roads because they were often being attacked by robbers or by these Canaanites. They couldn't even feel safe going to a well because that was a place where robbers or people would kind of stake out a well and wait for you to show up to try to get water, and then they would attack you or kill you or rob you. And so it was like a lawless nation at that point. And it seems as if we mentioned they didn't have weapons, as if someone had taken their weapons away from them, or they hadn't used them in so long that they were not fit to be used in any kind of battle or uprising. But the Jews found themselves in this predicament of being in a lawless land. And the reason why that happened is because they chose new gods. They didn't put their trust and faith in the one true God. They went after the other gods of the people that were in their land that they should have gotten rid of. Instead of getting rid of them, they let them be a negative influence on them, and they embraced their gods and their pagan rituals and things of this nature. And this is one of the reasons why they had their downfall. And this is not the first time that it would happen, and definitely not the last, as we can see throughout the Old Testament. We're going to read now verses 12 through 23. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinadab. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people. Out of Makur came down governors, and out of Zebulon they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben were there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan, and why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives unto death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought. They sought the kings of Canaan and Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hoofs broken by the means of the prancings and the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye Mizaro and the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. So here it's talking a little bit again about this idea that the other tribes didn't really pitch in and help out in this battle. Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, seemed more interested in maintaining their sheep than they were in coming to help their fellow Jews against in this battle. The children of Dan, who were more of a seafaring people, remained in their ships, and so they all just kind of ignored this call to rise up against an enemy of Israel, and only Zebulun and Issachar and I'm sorry, I lost my place here. And Zebulun were willing to go and fight this battle that God had called them to against their enemy. We'll finish reading the chapter beginning verse 24. Blessed above woman shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell, there he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise lady answered her, yea, she returned, answer to herself, have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey to every man a damsel or two, to Sisera the prey of divers colors, a prey of divers colors of needlework, of divers colors of needlework on both sides, met for the necks of them that take the spoil? So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. Let them that love him be as a sun when he goeth forth in his might, and a land had rest 40 years. So here we see it talks about, It talks about Jael, who was the woman who killed Sisera, and how she was blessed for what she had done. She had fulfilled a prophecy that Deborah had made, that the Canaanites would be delivered by the hand of a woman. And then it talks briefly about Sisera's mother is looking out the window, wondering why he hasn't returned from this battle. And it's because he went up against the forces of God, and he lost. And her ladies-in-waiting are trying to comfort her by saying, well, perhaps he's just enjoying the spoils of war, and he's collecting the different things that he's going to bring back as that spoil, but he's not coming back because he went up against God. He defied God by persecuting God's children, and because of that, he suffered the consequences. And so that battle was lost. And so this tells us another interesting story of how God at that time dealt with his people, and how they never seemed to learn their lesson. And that's, I think, a very valuable moral of the story, if you want to call it that, that we can learn from studying the Old Testament, especially the book of Judges, is that God never deserted the people. He always came back and delivered them, even though they turned against him. But it's important for us to understand how we shouldn't allow ourselves to be complacent and let our faith wane and let us be drawn away from the truth into other things, because we never know when our lives are going to be taken, or perhaps Jesus comes again when we're in a condition where we're not doing the things that God wants us to do because we've been drawn away from the things we know that are right by the things in the world that are evil. As always, when we get together to study the Word of God, we don't want to hesitate to offer an invitation to those who might not be members of the church, or those who desire the prayers of the church, to come forward while we sing the invitation song.